Because of what it says. I love it because of a guy, one of my heroes, that sang it very often. And I love it mostly because it talks about the love of God towards his people and how God has taken them all these through these annals of time and will do the same for us today. Amen. All right, if you look in Romans chapter 8, we've been studying the book of Romans, and we're in chapter 11. But we're going to go back and look at this, and I want to point out something here in this chapter that maybe it's really justification and sanctification. Justification means that whenever you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, or you're born again, and he is just as if, and there's a song that a group sings, and it says, when he sees me, he sees through the blood of Jesus Christ. When he sees through the blood of Jesus Christ, all he sees after that is a king. He's talking about Jesus. That's what he sees. So when we talk about justification, we're just like him, or just as if we had never sinned. Now, some people don't like to use that phrase. I'm talking about preachers, but it's still the truth that when Jesus saves you, you're in him, he's in you. And when God sees you, he sees him, and he sees his blood. So that means that you're pure and holy and righteous and all of that in God's eyes because of what Jesus did on the cross, because of what his blood has done. But after that time, when that transpires, no more are you your own. You're bought with a price. Now, let me say the happiest days of my life has been in Christ Jesus, has been in the Word of God. The happiest days of my whole existence is because of what he has done for me and how he's moved me and prepared me for heaven, another place that we'll go to one day. So that's called sanctification, okay? So we have A, B, C. So A, you were saved by the grace of God. You become a child of God. You're in the family of God now. Since that time, God, knowing that you're not already there, in which God sees us as already there. He is not in time. We're in time. He's in eternity. So he already sees it as everything already been done. So what God is going to do through the Holy Spirit of God, he's going to move us in holiness towards the likeness of his Son. He wants you to be just like Jesus. Why does the preacher always say this is what Jesus did in the Gospels? Because that is exactly what God wants you to see. He wants you to see that he's moving you in the process of sanctification. That word also means separation. In other words, he's separating us from the old flesh. He is moving us in a direction that makes us more like Jesus. Now, if your heart is right with God, that's exactly what you're going to want. If you're being led of the Spirit of God, that's exactly what you want. You want God to use you any aspect or any way that he wants to do that. You want to allow him to do that. I don't know what God's going to do with me tomorrow, but I know he's going to do right. Amen? I don't know when Jesus is coming back, but I know he is. Amen. And so we don't have to worry about all the details because we have a Heavenly Father that's in control of everything and is running everything, and he will cause things to happen in our life. Circumstances in our life will bring about his will in our life. The Bible teaches us it's God that worketh in you both the willing to do of his good pleasure. Amen. So God is going to do things in your life that you may not comprehend or understand. But God is going to do it because he knows what's right. He knows what's good for you. And he knows what's down the road, son. He knows what's going on. Amen. So when we go through these times, when we go through these days, we can know that God is still in control. We can know that God is going to lead us. As that song said, he's going to lead us along, some through the water, some through the storm, some through whatever, but all through the blood. Amen. So God is going to make you like himself, whether you like it or not. See, I knew I wouldn't get many amens there. The reason is, so many times, when things happen in our life, we don't want to accept. I don't like that. Well, you know what Brother Billy said this morning? Why, listen, I can go down the road. There's another church over there, but they don't do that. Well, help yourself. Just remember this. If you're born again, you might end up in the woodshed. And you might be looking for somebody that you feel like can pray and get you through it. Amen? Now, I'm not trying to be ugly or rude or anything. I'm trying to tell you, God wants you like himself. Because why? Because he's perfect. I don't like that, Brother Billy. I don't like you talking about being perfect. You know, I said one time, I think I've told y'all this illustration before. Uncle Walter was sitting here about where Miss Jacqueline is, and I said, do you have to be perfect to go to heaven? And he said, Lord, no, right in the middle of the service. Well, you do have to be perfect to go to heaven. Amen. Yeah, but I'm just an old sinner. Well, you need to get right. Amen. You need to shoot for the stars and not for a mud hole. You can hit a mud hole every time. Amen. But you shoot for the stars. You may not hit it, but you're shooting in the right direction. We have a perfect word of God that helps us to direct our lives, and God is in control, and God says, do this, do that, do the other, and brother, you'll be blessed. Amen. All right, now with all that being said, let's look at chapter 8. We're going to read first 10 or 11 verses somewhere along in there. Amen. For there is therefore now no condemnation. If you're born again, ain't nobody going to bring nothing up to God, and God's going to say, there's no condemnation in old Brother Larry. Well, I knew Larry when he was a so-and-so, and I knew, yeah. Well, you did. But you see, now he's under the blood. You don't appreciate this, but you will one day when you get old like us. And some of this stuff filters through, and you understand it, and you comprehend it. Let me tell you something. You're going to get happy about this stuff. I mean, you're liable to say amen in church, amen. You might raise your hand and act like you're happy, amen. You might smile, amen. Listen to what it says. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. I mean, the devil can't hold nothing up to you. Now, watch me now. You're as pure as the driven snow, as far as God's concerned, because of Jesus. But you still have to live down here till you die, or till Jesus raptures the church. You still have the old sin nature. You still have those urges and those things. We're going to talk about how you walk in this life is what we're going to talk about. If you walk after the Spirit of God, man, it's a happy, joyous life. And that's what God wants. But if you walk after the flesh, you continue. And walking after the flesh is a continuous process. It means that you might not be saved. That's what it means. All right? So listen to this. He said here, in Christ Jesus, who walked not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law, this is talking about the teachings that was given to the Jewish nation of people, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. Now watch me. This principle here, this principle he's teaching here, is that the law could not save you. You, first of all, you have to realize the Ten Commandments, and there's more than just the Ten Commandments. But the Ten Commandments, if you could keep all the Ten Commandments, could not save you. But it was a schoolmaster, a teacher, to bring us to God. It's the grace of God. It's the grace of God. It's faith and repentance. It's those two things. They're Siamese twins. Faith and repentance, you can't separate the two. So by faith, you could come to God. But listen to me, you still have to live out this time on earth that you have. Now, why is that true? Because we're to evangelize. We talked about in Sunday school this morning, the Jew fell on their face trying to evangelize. If they had received Jesus Christ as their Savior, he would have set up the kingdom on earth. But they didn't. So what did he do? Because of their blindness, he turned to the Gentiles. Now the Gentiles are to propagate the gospel around the world. Why are you here? Why are we here? Why is Victor Baptist Church here? To send missionaries all over this world. To get people saved by the grace of God. It's not just a club down here that we join and come down here and have a good time together and sing together. And listen, Ed asked me if I missed him. Started to slap him. Amen. Sure I missed him. You say, why? Because he's a part of me. It's like your children. Christina moved off. She said this morning, she said something. She said something about she loved me. And I said, oh, you don't love me. You moved to Tennessee, didn't you? I mean, if you loved me like I love you, you'd still been down here. Daddy, quit saying. I said, don't daddy me. Amen. I know what I'm talking about. I love the people that God has put in my presence and brought across my path because they love Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Now, there's a few other things you need to clean up on, but you still love the Lord Jesus. Amen. All right, so he says here, notice he says here, condemn sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. That's talking about us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. God wants you to walk in the Spirit so that you can accomplish the goals that Jesus Christ accomplished when he was on the earth. And we have power through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have power, supernatural power in our life to accomplish what God tells us to do. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to like this morning because it's going to show you how much you walk in the Spirit of God or how much you walk in the flesh. You're not going to like it. Now, don't dislike me. Amen. I mean, don't shoot the mailman because he brings the bills. Amen. I mean, I'm just telling you. You're not going to like it. Notice he said, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, or take care of, or watch out for. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity, or against God, the enemy against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So that they are in the flesh cannot please God. Okay, cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. I was teasing my grandkids who were down this week, helping me build fence, and we were talking about, we're sitting at the table, and each time we get ready to eat, I ask a different one to pray. And so the last meal we had together, I said, well, I guess I better pray. I said, I was looking up a while ago, and I seen all of y'all's prayers stuck on the ceiling. Now, this is my grandkids. I love missing my grandkids. We have a good time together. We enjoy each other's company and so on and so forth. Don't look up here like I treat my grandkids. Listen, bad. My grandkids got a bird nest on the ground. Amen. And we have a wonderful time together. I'm telling you. We could get a lot of work done if we wasn't playing around so much. Amen. But anyhow, he says here, then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now watch me here. Now watch me. Listen. You boys listening to me? Listen to this. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Let me read it again. If there's not the Spirit of Christ exhibited in your life over a period of time. Now this is not just hot and cold and off and on and all. It's talking about all the time. He says here, you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of his. You say, what happens when you get born again? You get the Spirit of Christ. He said here, and if Christ be in you, and the body be dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now I want to talk about two aspects of the Scriptures. We always have different things about the Scriptures. The two things that I want to talk about is the two spiritual twos in the Bible. The two spiritual twos in the Bible. That's confusing a little bit, but it's not. After God saves you, God is going to make you like himself. He's going to make you holy. Now you say, wait a minute. Now I look back 40 years ago when I talked about the radio ministry, the jail ministry, and all those things that I had when I was at in Milano, Texas, which I went to Bryan College Station, and there's where most of my ministry was at that time. We had four or five preachers in our church, young preacher boys, and those preacher boys were the ones that God used in a mighty way. So I look back at those days, and I look back at this day, and I think, dear God, I'm different. I'm not like I used to be. Boy, I tell you what, all I want to do is skin them sheep over. They wasn't like me. They wasn't like what I thought. They wasn't like what the Bible teaches. And bless God, I was going to tell them so, and amen, and I did. That's the wrong attitude. That's the wrong, watch me, spirit. Christ did not have that kind of spirit. Christ is teaching us that those people were blinded to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have people today sitting in churches who could give a hoot what's said from the pulpit. They don't give a rip. Now in some pulpits, they ain't saying nothing no how. But when you talk about redemption, when you talk about repentance, when you talk about the things of God, listen, people don't want to hear that. I told you last week I preached on nothing. Amen. Did y'all get it last week? Nothing. That's what most people want to hear. Nothing. So I preached on nothing. Amen. Now, let me say this. There's two principles. Sanctification, Watch me. It's very, this is a powerful, powerful statement. If you don't get nothing else I say, get this. Sanctification is the evidence, of justification. Now, if you go down the street here, some people just got up a while ago and had big breakfast. If you knock on every door, Brother Walker, and you ask them, they're going to tell you they're going to heaven. Most of them are going to tell you, well, I'm a member. I told a guy one time I bought a lawnmower from him. We were loading the lawnmower on the pickup, and we were talking. I said, where'd he go to church? I asked him what his affiliation was with the church. He said, well, I'm a Baptist. I said, well, where do you go to church? He said, oh, we don't very seldom. He said, we have to keep this big property all mowed and clean. He said, take most of our time on the weekends. That's what I'm talking about. That's what some would call him a carnal Christian. Carnality is already said that they are the enemies of God. Those people don't know God. That man wasn't concerned about God. He was concerned about his grass. Now watch me. I'll have to mow my grass. Brother Patrick, my wife, would bug me till I had warts all over my head. The grass has moved up about a half inch longer than it ought to be. She wants to mow the grass. The only problem is she's not going to mow the grass. I'm going to mow the stinking grass. And the grass don't need mowing. But she's going to bug me till I mow the grass. I mow the grass. Amen. Get her off my neck. Amen. The idea is that we need to see that God is telling us things that don't really amount to a hill of beans to us. But it does to him. You say, why? Because he's going to make you like himself. You don't like it? Doesn't make any difference. I don't like this kind of preaching, Brother Billy. I've had him go out the door telling me, I didn't appreciate this today. I didn't like this today. Very seldom. Except maybe this group is more compassionate than others. Most of the time, it's, I didn't care about that. Now we have guys that say, yay, hey, that was good. Amen. Praise God. Not because of me, but in spite of me, it's still the truth of God. It's not my truth. I'm not trying to corral you. Now, if I had some of these boys that's back here, and they were in my house and putting their legs under my table and eating my table, they'd be a lot better boys. You say, what do you mean? I'd jerk a knot in them. And if I couldn't jerk a knot in them, I know somebody could. I know several people that could. And I know several people that would. Because it's not right to be disrespectful to God's church and God's word. Amen. So, we have a society today that doesn't believe like that, and they don't want to hear it, and they don't care. Sanctification is the evidence of justification. There just might be. I don't know how many people I've heard say, I thought I got saved when I was 12, but I didn't. Thought I got saved when I was 16, but I didn't. One day they realize that their life consisted more of the flesh than it does of the God, of the Spirit. Now watch me. He said those that have not the Spirit of Christ are none of His. I didn't say that. He said that. We need to be concerned about our life and what it exhibits. What it does, how it reflects to a lost and perishing world. I have 4 points and I'll be done. Listen to the first one. There's two principles in verse 5. There's two classes of people. The people in the flesh and the people after the Spirit. He's talking about, does your life consist of more of the flesh than it does the Spirit? Now watch me. I'm not talking about your job. You ought to be the best employee your employer has as a Christian. You need to keep your mind on your business and do a job for your employer. He's paying you good money to do a good job. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about where is your thought processes at, which will lead you to think about the things of God as opposed to yourself. I talked to Miss Peggy this week, and Miss Effie happened to be there. And she said, I'm going to make this woman look so beautiful. She'll be so shocked. I said, how are you going to take credit for that? She's already beautiful. Don't come up with that mess. You're going to mess with her hair a little bit and tell me you made her beautiful. Give me a break. Amen. My concern is I have 4 or 5 of those women in the church, and I don't like them to get together. And my wife, I was telling her about it. When I came back in there, she said, who was you talking to? I said, I was talking to another woman. Who was it? She said. I said, it's none of your business. I want to know who it was. I said, it was Peggy. She said, what on earth are you talking to Peggy for? And so I was telling her about the list that I had of these women in our church. I don't like them to gang up. Amen. If I could hear them, I could get more sermons, but I can't hear them there often. Yeah, you know what I mean? And you know what she said, Zelma? She said, well, you didn't put me in there. She wanted to be with y'all outlaws. Well, she didn't need to be because she is already. Amen. The two classes of things listed in verse 5 is the flesh, the old flesh. The sin nature is what he's talking about, the old sin nature. Who looks after what? He looks after your old flesh. He doesn't care about anything else. He doesn't care about anybody else. But after the Spirit. The flesh is the unregenerate, sinful nature of the Christian, of the person. Okay, not a Christian. In the Spirit, we're born from above. Now, we were talking this morning about our children, where they were born and how they were born and all that, and glory going through how hard it was and all that. It wasn't. It's a picnic to have those kids. I mean, there was nothing to it. I mean, she complained, bellyache and carried on. Brother Nelson, wasn't bad. It was bad after we saw the kids. Amen? No, I'm just kidding. Born from above. What does that mean? That means you're born into the family of God. You're born into the family of God. What does that mean? It means that God is holy. He's righteous. He's pure. Do you think he's going to be concerned about everything in the world but him? No, it's not happening. Born from above. We also have power from above. I've had people say to me, well, you know, I can't do this, and I don't know how to do this, and I'm trying. I'm doing the best I can, preacher, and amen. Well, that ain't good enough. Not according to me, but according to God. Look what Matthew 4:19 says. Anybody know what that says? Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. I've had people tell me, I don't know how to witness to somebody. Well, get in the Bible. Look what Jesus did. Jesus talked to them and got their confidence and gave them the gospel of Jesus Christ. He went to Samaritan, one of the worst people in the world, to try to talk to a Jew, talk to a Samaritan. Are you kidding me? And yet that's exactly what he did. And he told her everything wrong in her life, and her eyes were open, and she saw herself, and she saw her sinfulness, and she was born again. Some believe, through deep studies, that this woman could have been responsible for leading 4,000 to 5,000 people to Jesus Christ after her experience with him. She went back to her people, and she preached and propagated the gospel. You know what God wants us to do? He just wants wherever you go to exhibit the life of Christ. You know how they're going to do it? Because of what they see in you. That's how we're going to do it. How are you going to tell the world that you're serious about what you're talking about? I mean, just live for Jesus all your life. Amen. That'll do it. Now, people will shun you. People will shun you. They'll stay away from you. They don't want to hear from you. They're scared of you. If they see Jesus Christ in your life, it's something that they don't want to see. They didn't like Christ. They didn't like the Lord Jesus. And they won't like you if you look like him and you act like him. The second thing is there's two tendencies in verses 5 and 6. There was a preacher who was preaching a message. Now, this may not mean much to you, but it does to me. He was preaching. He had a heart attack while he was preaching. I have said before, if I die before Jesus comes, I wouldn't mind it happening right here. But this preacher was preaching, had a massive heart attack, and he fell to the floor. His men ran up and picked him up, and they're trying to get him laid down, put his head. He said, get me back to the pulpit. The men said, hey, preacher, listen, you got to get to the hospital quick. You got to get some help. He said, get me back to the pulpit. Put me back up there, one of you on one side, one on the other, but I want to finish what God told me to tell you. They brought him back to the pulpit. He finished in a weak way. He finished what he had to say and died with them holding him there behind the pulpit. You say, boy, that was dumb. Well, it might be to you. But the key is he realized that the Word of God was more powerful than anything in the world. If God wanted him to stay here, he'd have kept him here. But God was ready for him. But let me tell you something. He was able to give the image that was in his heart, that was to preach the Holy Book of God. There's two tendencies. We mind, notice the verse in verse 5 said, mind the things. Mind, tend to the things of the flesh. What's more important to you? I get tired of people saying, well, I would have come to church, but I had to do this, I had to do that, I had to do the other. Well, the Bible says this is the Lord's day. This is His day. You don't have the prerogative to choose what you want to choose. It's the Lord's day. I'm talking about, Brother Patrick, if your cow's in the ditch, get her out. That's what the Bible says. We're not to be cruel and unruly and all these things, but we're talking about the prerogatives of our life. What's important to you? What's important to you? Is it the things of the world, which will all pass away? Or is it the things of God that's eternal and will live forever? You know what I believe? I believe that even during the 1,000-year reign, me and Patrick, we're driving cows around. You say, you're crazy. I know it, but I'm having a good time. Leave me alone. Amen. I do believe that. The world is going to operate under the guise of Jesus Christ as the King of not of a nation, but of the world. And we will be His servants in those days. Amen. The earth's going to be made new. I don't believe we'll even have to fertilize. Amen. Just go ahead and, amen. You can say, yeah, I had a lady tell me one time, she said, you know, that kind of stuff is not in the Bible. Oh, yeah? Well, what do you believe? What do you believe? I believe what the Bible says. We're going to rule and reign with Jesus Christ on the earth for 1,000 years. What does that mean? We're going to all sit around in a little circle and sing, Jesus loves me. We're going to always praise God all through eternity. That's going to happen. But I'm telling you, we're going to have things to do. We're going to be involved in things. I used to think, as a kid, I used to think about the age of these. I used to think about heaven as like a butterfly and fluttering around. That's the dumbest thing I ever heard of. What you see here is what you're going to see there with a new body. I Zelma said, I'm going to live next door to you in heaven. I said, God would not do that to me. And you say, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say the same Zelma you see sitting there, the makeup of Zelma, she has an elderly car that she drives around. And I'm not talking about the car, I'm talking about right there. She's got an elderly, well, she's going to get a new one. She's going to have a brand new one. But the same Zelma that you talk to, you'll talk to her there. That's eternal. It'll never pass away. So, when we get to heaven, and I kid you, it'll be the same Brother Billy. And I'll tell you what else. I may think about it. I may ask the Lord to let you live next door. I get tired of aggravating Glory all the time. I can go over and aggravate her for a while. Amen. Two tendencies. Mind the things of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is life and peace. Fruit always comes according to its kind. Okay? If you're all filled with the flesh, that's what we'll see. That's what we'll understand. But if you walk in the Spirit, then we'll see things that reflect to the Lord God, His glory. The third thing is, there's two issues. The outcome of minding the flesh is separation from God. If there's one thing you don't want, what would make hell hell? God won't be there. You say, but it's burning. I know all of that. I know all of that. Because the Bible says, but He won't be there. Okay? What's going to make heaven heaven? It's all about Him. And He will be there. And you won't unless you devote yourself to Jesus Christ now in this life. Unless you repent, come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You'll be more serious about going to church. I told our church years ago, I said, when I top that little hill right over here, most of them come in that direction. When you top that little hill up there and you can see the church, I said, if you really, really, really appreciate your church and the people in your church, you'll pull over the side of the road and get out and shout a while. You know who established this church? You know who has blessed this church? You know who has built this church? You know who is here with us this morning? Think about that. I mean, my grandma, she used to say, put that in your pipe and smoke it. Now, don't do that in church, amen. I'd rather you not even do it outside the church. But he's here. Amen. I heard what a preacher say one time. I talked to him this morning. He said he'd be right there. He'd be faithful. Although we're not, he'd be faithful. He'll be there. Amen. Talking about walking in the flesh and walking in the spirit. It's separation from God. These two are opposed, are incompatible completely. You can't hold hands with the devil and hold hands with God. Won't work. God is a jealous God. Will not share his glory with anybody. God will not bless your life as a Christian unless you're walking in the Spirit of God. I want the blessings of God. Then act like it. So it's quiet in here. It's the truth. It's the truth. It's the truth. People will see you're real. Amen. I had a preacher one time at Days Refreshing say, well, Brother Billy, he's what you see is what you get. That's the truth. Not a good spokesman, not a good preacher, not very good looking, used to be, not anymore. But he said he's real. What I'm telling you, I believe with every fiber of my being. You can disagree with me, that's fine. You can not like me because of it, that's fine. Because I'm looking for his favor and not yours. Now I hope those two come together. But it's not necessary for me to serve God if you like me or dislike me. The callings of God are without repentance. Minding the flesh or minding the Spirit of God. You cannot please God in the flesh. Two spheres. In the flesh and in the spirit. After he has done with the standards of the principles of this life, it's all about where you stand in comparison with what these verses are telling. Notice he said, in has to do with the spiritual possession of a believer. We walk in the Spirit. That means he has possession of you, of your being. He has possession. He is able to assert himself and his authority in your life. Amen. Let me tell you what you ought to do every day, and I'm through. You ought to get up, acknowledge him. We preach that. Acknowledge him. And then you need to ask him this. Lord, would you bring somebody across my path that I'd be able to be a blessing to? That I could open up the gospel to? You say, but I don't think I could. No, no, no. You need to quit that negative mess. We talked about the power of God is supernatural. You ask him, Lord, would you bring this something? Listen, I've had somebody come up to me and tell me, they said, listen, I need to know about this. Jimmy McMillan is the one. Lived like the devil all his life. Had children with other women. Still married to Geraldine. I mean, I believe Durwood, Geraldine give the nod, it killed him. Sorry, no count. But you know what he said? I got to know something about this stuff. Something about this book you preached? Whew, I got to know about this stuff. And I was able to share the gospel right here, back here in this little room right here to Jimmy McMillan. Jimmy McMillan, Joe, I know it's hard to believe, son. But Jimmy McMillan wept back here and asked God to save him. He didn't live very long after that, but what he had after that, I saw the Spirit of God in him. Now you say what you will. Got a daughter, we need to pray for her. We pray for her every time we pray on our prayer list. She says she don't want to be saved because of what God did for him. If God forgave him his sin, she said, I don't have nothing to do with it. Because of what he did to my family. It's what she said. Say, you shouldn't say that, Brother Billy. I'm trying to tell you that these things are out there operating, and if we'll live for Jesus Christ, listen, there's no telling what God can do. If you'd have asked me 10 years before that time to Jimmy McMillan, I'd have said he'd have split hell wide open. I tell you how bad it was. His brothers quit drinking with him. I mean, they would come down every so often just to drink beer and get drunk together. They quit that. Jimmy preached to him about drinking. He said, you ought to quit that drinking. And they didn't quit the drinking, but they quit him. You don't think that hurt? He loved those guys. And they loved him. But the Bible says God came not to bring unity in this old wicked world, but to bring a sword and split right down the middle. And that's exactly what he did in that family. Either come to Christ. Someone said either paint or get off the ladder. That's what Christians need to do. Live for Jesus. Amen. Let's stand. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I'm going to ask Ms. Marva to just play a verse or two, however God leads. You need to come to the altar. It's open. I like what the mother of Jesus said at the marriage supper. When they ran out of wine, this was not wine that you drank, permitted stuff. It's grape juice. She said, whatever he says, she says to the servants, whatever he says, just do it. I'm going to tell you something. God will touch your old heart this morning. He will take you.